Holy One, inspire our hearts and minds with the stories and the words that we hear, or in spite of them. Amen. This past week, we have seen a lot of hockey sticks. On the Baptist Church sign on Granville at about 53rd, instead of their usual scripture passage, or frankly, in spite of some sort of soppy messages that they often have, they just have a hockey stick duct taped to the sign. It's pretty hard to find anything more Canadian than a hockey stick and duct tape. But this week, the hockey stick isn't really a national symbol of patriotism. It's a symbol of grief. So many young people lost in the Humboldt crash and lives changed forever. There's a lot of symbolism that comes together here. The sport that somehow is a symbol of not who we are as Canadians, but who we aspire to be. A team that works together to triumph. A team that works together that uses the ice and snow that would destroy others and instead makes it into the means of our triumph. The symbol of our children, our hope for the future lost. Our young men, a symbol of our people's strength. And also, strangely, out of that, some stories of resurrection, of young men injured speaking already of the future. It hits us where we live. There is, however, one city in Canada where hockey is a celebration these days. That's Winnipeg. I'm a Winnipegger. In Winnipeg, the Jets, and in case you are honestly like me, not really a sports follower, that's the hockey team, the Jets. In Winnipeg, the Jets have made the playoffs. That, by the way, truly is a resurrection. And over the weekend, people poured into the downtown streets for a massive party. The city expected 2,000 people. There were more than 5,000 who came out for the party. Great screens were set up in the downtown area. And you know you're Canadian when a street party in the snow in April sounds like a good idea. And for Winnipeggers, this also is a story of resurrection. I think also of a friend of mine, a friend of our family, for whom hockey was a different kind of symbol. He's the son of a Canadian woman of Japanese descent and the son of a German doctor. He was born in Germany. And his appearance always marked him as different, and he and his sister prized their Canadian roots and longed to live in Canada. He made sure he learned to skate in preparation for that day. And when that was finally possible, he arrived in Canada in July, and the very first thing he did was get his parents to buy him a hockey stick. Those are hard to find in July. But then he could play road hockey with the neighbors till the ice came. And for him, that hockey stick was a symbol of belonging and further hope. He still plays. He's at UBC. This isn't a sermon about nationalism. For those of you who go to see the movie Indian Horse, about the boy from a residential school who plays hockey in the face of terrible racism, hockey is about something else. But that hockey stick is a symbol of hopes and dreams. And it's a symbol of hopes and dreams dashed and destroyed, and somehow a symbol of belonging and resurrection and new hope. The Bible story we read today is about doubt and dashed hopes, and it's about grief and anger. When Jesus appears to the disciples after his death, Thomas is not there. When the other disciples tell Thomas what has happened, he doesn't just doubt, he expresses all his emotions. And you can hear the unspoken thoughts in the way he expresses his scorn. You can hear it in the background. How dare you tell me that you've seen Jesus? After all we've been through, after all this grief, when our hope is dead and gone, do you make fun of me? Thomas seems awfully real to us. He is a real person, but he represents real people. He represents us. The story is there not because doubt is wrong, it's because doubt is normal. And in the face of the tragedies of the world, we doubt that there is goodness in the world. We doubt that there is anything more in the universe, a God, a Christ, or any greater thing that might relieve our fears and our anger. And we doubt our place in the world and our ability to do anything that would meaningfully affect the suffering. In the face of not just the Humboldt tragedy, but chemical weapons attacks on children, the populist exploitation of racism, the ridiculousness of small-minded leaders with big power, our lives can seem meaningless and our efforts seem small and even pitiful. The psalm today, we didn't read the psalm of the day, but it goes like this. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin, but ponder it on your beds. Be silent. Offer the right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord." But you have put gladness in my heart more than when grain and wine abound. The story of Thomas has power for us because in the face of tragedy, our own anger and grief make us doubt that goodness exists and that we have the ability to be part of it. Makes us doubt who we are. For some people today, those hockey sticks are a symbol of terrible pain. Even while for many more, they have become a symbol of a rallying cry to community and to shared intention. It's important that this intention should not become too small, not reduced to Humboldt. In the midst of grief, our focus can be very narrow, but a shared intention for a shared community, a possibility that this shared experience can be a force for good, can and should move far beyond it. It's strange to think that this terrible tragedy is yet small on the world stage. But it is. The death of one young Middle Eastern man on a cross was a small tragedy in the face of the world at that time. And yet through this story, we also know the story of thousands more who were killed in the same way, for the same purpose, in order to prop up a corrupt empire and to protect religious leaders of little imagination. But the terrible grief of those who stood at the foot of Golgotha became a shared intention about something new, to become something else. Through the loss of faith and through great doubt, not just in Christ, but in themselves, who they were, the disciples each became something more than they had been before. We should remember that each of their actions after that was really also on a small scale. They had no mass communication. They didn't become televangelists. They literally stepped out into the street and started walking, one foot before the other. Many of them walked the whole empire, one village at a time, one person at a time, one kindness at a time, one healing, one cup of wine, one loaf of bread. One Vancouver comedian pointed out that they even did this without coffee and asks, think what they could have accomplished if they'd just had coffee. We have all those things, and still the thing that changes the world and gives it meaning is one kindness at a time, one person at a time, one cup of wine, one loaf of bread, one cup of coffee shared. A hockey stick is not really a Christian symbol, but this week when you see the hockey sticks, I call on you to interpret them in the light of the resurrection. A shared intention to be and become something more, to heal and to mend, whether in some great shared endeavor or one person at a time, one cup of coffee, one light in the dark. May it be so. Amen.